Have you ever been on a diet and, I'm sorry, Dave a picnic, talk about diet. Have you ever been on a diet and you go about 2, 3, 4 days eating carrots and lettuce and I'm going to check and see how good I've done and step on the scales and gained a pound. So you got to decide, am I going to continue this diet that doesn't seem to be working? Or so you continue another few weeks or a few days and carrots and lettuce and whatever else it might be, water. And you step on the scale and you lost the pound you gained before and that was it. You kind of got a decision to make. Am I going to continue on this or am I going to change and do something different? Prayer is a lot like that. Have you ever prayed and 3 days later didn't get it? A week later still hadn't got it? Don't have your answer? A month later? Well, I've got to decide. I'm just going to give up and quit praying, or I'm going to get down and be serious about prayer. Jesus was asked by his disciples one day, said, Lord, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. And Jesus said, okay, first of all, get down on your knees, facing the floor, screaming and hollering. No. He said, well, when you pray, say. In other words, talk. Speak. Talk. And then we know the outline that the Lord went on to give them, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and so forth. But the secret was to talk. And really, prayer is that simple, just to talk. And to speak to God, have a personal talk with God. All too often we feel if we're not in our face on the floor, we're not really praying. But just as I'm talking to you, that's how prayer is. Lord, I've told a story of a preacher I knew that he would come into the church, you know, nobody here, grab him a cup of coffee, he'd sit on the back row and sip his coffee and say, well, Lord, how you doing today? And that's how he would pray. Lord, this is needed. That's needed. And that's how he would pray. And he had many of his prayers answered simply by talking to God. Now, there are times, no doubt, that we'll find ourselves, circumstances will drive us into the carpet with our face on the floor and all of that. Those times will come. But the important thing is just to be able to understand, just talking to God. Just talking to God. That's how simple prayer really is. What are some of the reasons we don't pray? I don't have enough time. I am so busy. Or I get down to pray and squirrel. Thoughts come that have nothing to do with prayer. Thoughts come and What was I trying to say? I can't remember. Or the enemy will remind us of something that happened many years ago that has nothing to do with anything that God forgave us of. And then all of a sudden we're not worthy to talk to God. I hope I'm not just the only one that has ever felt like this. He'll tell you your prayers don't matter. Man, just give it to Brother McGuire. You know he can pray. Or, I can't pray like Brother McGuire can. Well, of course you can. I can't. Nobody can. Nobody prays like Brother McGuire does. You don't have to be an English major to be able to talk. If somebody would listen to me when I'm praying sometimes, you'd wonder, what in the world is he trying to say? How can God get through all of that mess he's trying to talk about and actually get to something that he needs? But when the devil can convince us that we're not worthy, we're not close enough to God, there's things wrong, this is bad, I used to do that, and everything that was under the blood, if he can convince us that we're not worthy, then we won't pray. And when we don't pray, we don't get what we need. James said, you have not because you ask not. How can you get something if you don't ask for it? If I were to ask Brother Chris this morning, can I have a $20 bill? Well, I might not. But if I didn't ask. And he wouldn't know that I wanted if I didn't ask. Amen. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you. And he never put conditions on who can pray or how you're. There are times when I go to the Lord in prayer and I'm not sure what I need to pray. So as I begin prayer, I say, Lord, lead me in my prayer. Lead me to the areas in my life that you know I need to pray about. Lead me to areas and remind me of people that you know I need to be praying about. And my family and so forth. Sometimes we just need to stop and have a little talk with Jesus. Just have a little talk with Jesus and everything makes it right. Amen. I'll tell you, when I was studying this lesson today, I found myself enlightened about a lot of things. I found myself strengthened in some things. And I found myself convicted in some things. And that's what the Word of God does. It's sharp and it's powerful, even to the dividing of the bone and the marrow. Amen. Prayer is an avenue to many blessings that we don't receive when we don't pray. Amen. We fail because we don't ask. So today's lesson's title is Prayer Before Big Choices. Everybody here has had big choices in life to make. And I have, and I'll be honest with you up front, I have made decisions without talking to God. And every time I did, I was wrong. Webster defines prayer as petition to God through word or thought. Well, I can think all day long. I can think about prayer all day long. And there's nothing wrong with thinking. You know, you might be at work typing on your computer or running a machine, and your mind is on things that you need to be praying about, and that's good, that's important, that's necessary. Paul told us in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms. Now, if you go back to read the book of Psalms, many of the psalms are prayers, just simply prayers. But speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was telling them to redeem the time, because the days are evil. Are we living in evil times? Are we living in days that are evil? Our thoughts should be about things that uplift us, things that encourage us, strengthen us. I love waking up singing some song we sang Sunday, or a song we sung Wednesday night, or a song I haven't heard of in years. And it's just amazing. You get up feeling better. Don't mind getting up. Well, most of us don't mind getting up. But besides speaking to ourselves, God wants us to speak verbally. He wants us to speak to Him, especially when we're faced with a big choice or a decision to make. We just need to get by ourselves sometimes, just me and God. You can ask my wife. There are actually times when I go in my closet, and it's not a real big closet, but I shut the door, no light, I can't see anything, I can't hear anything, and I find I can pour out my heart to God in prayer, just me and God. It's important that I have you to pray for me, and it's important that you have me to pray for you, but nobody knows me like me. Nobody knows what I need like I know. So I can pray and reach God like I really need. Luke, the 6th chapter, verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray. And this is talking about Jesus. And continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. And of them he chose 12. See, he had quite a crowd, quite a few disciples, but he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. Jesus had just healed a man of a withered hand. It was on Sabbath. The story goes that the Sabbath before the disciples picked corn out of the fields and they ate the corn without washing their hands, and the Pharisees were just so incensed about that. That's against the law. You can't be doing that. You're breaking the law. And here Jesus was their leader, so they were mad at him. And on this day, it was Sabbath again, and there was a man that was withered. Jesus put forth your hand, healed it. They were mad. The Pharisees were just so upset, so mad. What can we do about this guy that breaks the Sabbath by healing someone? They were filled with madness, the Bible says, trying to figure out what they could do to stop him. So Jesus, God in the flesh, decided, I need to get away from all this. I need to get away by myself and pray. Amen. He decided to get away, and he had a big decision to make. The next day, he's going to choose the 12. He's got all the disciples, but tomorrow I got to choose 12 to be my apostles. And he needed some alone time, praise God, away from the distractions, away from the doubt and all the unbelief. We need to get away sometimes, just us. Sometimes just get in your closet at home or come over here when there's nobody around. You can spend some good time in prayer over here walking up and down these aisles. Amen. But he was going to make his decision, and he didn't make his decision by appearance. Just because you're pretty today, not just because you got a bunch of muscles bulging, and not because you have the most likes on Facebook, and not because you got the most money or you got the sweetest personality. You can't make spiritual decisions based on human desires. And Jesus was having to make a decision on these 12. If I make a decision without talking to God for advice, my decision is usually always wrong. Also, after we pray, we need to take a minute and listen. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody that all they did was talk, didn't give you a chance? I think some have been in those kind of discussions. Amen. Sometimes we need to just stop and listen for God to talk to us. Prayer is a two-way conversation. We let God know our needs. He talks to us. We present our requests and our petitions to Him, and He answers. And there's three answers I know of. Pastor, you can tell me if I'm wrong. He can say yes, he can say no, or he can say later. I don't think he'll ever say maybe, because he already knows. Amen. We've all had times when something happens that just devastates us. We get a phone call and bad news, or we get a letter in the mail, or news on the job, and suddenly we're faced with a big decision. Big decision. What do we do? Do we go on Facebook? Hey, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I have this need. I need my prayer warriors to pray for me. That's good. And if it ever comes up on your Facebook page, go ahead and stop and pray. Don't just say emoji. If you're going to pray, actually, if you say you're going to pray, go ahead and pray. Amen. Do you phone a friend? Phone the pastor? Or do you worry? Now, it's great to have people to pray, and it's important. But it's important that we have our own personal time of prayer. I tell you, if when you're in need, call a pastor. When you're in need, call one of your friends that you've got a confidence in you can trust. Go on Facebook. Tell the world to pray for you. That I don't have anything wrong with that. But as Jesus got away from all of the distractions of life, we have to have time to be alone with Him, with nothing that can interfere, no phone to ring, nobody to knock on my door. From Genesis to Revelation, from Adam to John, we see examples of men who had to have a personal time with God. They had to have a personal time to talk to God. Amen. Adam, the Bible says, communed with God. Every evening he'd walk with God. Well, he wasn't just walking, he was talking, he was praying, he was communing with God. And John, of course, in Revelation, he prayed for the understanding of what he was seeing. Sometimes I need to pray, God, give me some understanding. Give me some wisdom, Lord. Sometimes I feel so foolish. Sometimes I feel so unlearned. God, I need some wisdom. And the Bible said, Jesus said, God will grant you wisdom if you ask for it. He'll grant you wisdom if you ask for it. I want to go talk a little bit about Jacob. Jacob was a cheater, a liar, a deceiver. He was a good man, wasn't he? Well, we know the story about Jacob, how he deceived his dad, or he deceived his brother out of the birthright, first of all. Then he received his dad, and then he went on, went into a place that called Bethel that he set up to sleep that night. And Bible says he was in the house of God and didn't even know it. Think about that. He was in the house of God and he didn't even know it. He went on down. You know the story. I worked for Rachel, got Leah, worked another 7 years for Rachel, finally got her. So now he's got Rachel and Leah, 14 years of labor for Laban. And now he's got another 7 years to work to get his cattle and all this sheep and all that other stuff. Okay, now I've got to go home. I've got to go make things right with my brother. Has God ever talked to you, said, hey, you need to make something right? Well, Jacob got his family, all of his herds, said, I'm going to go back. God told him, it's time, you need to go back. And so he headed back to see his brother. Got down the road a little ways, and the Bible says that he said, you take some of the cattle and my family, and you go over there, and you take some, go over there. I'm going to go over here by myself. I've got to talk with God. My brother wants to kill me. My brother wants to do me harm. And I've got all these people to take care of. I've got all this crop. He said, I've got to talk to God. So the Bible tells me that he wrestled with the angel of the Lord all night long. Well, what was he doing? Just physically arm in arm beating each other up? He was praying. He was seeking God. I've got to have an answer, Lord. I need you to talk to me. I need to have an answer. What's going to happen? And finally, you know the story that about to break day, and the angel of the Lord said, let me go. I'm not letting you go till you've blessed me. I need that answer. Well, what's your name? You know my name. I'm a deceiver. I'm a cheat. You know my name. My name's Jacob. Well, no more. No more. You're changing today. You're not going to be a deceiver anymore. You're going to be one that has power with God. Your name is going to be called Israel now. Praise God. Have you ever got to the point, Lord, I need to have a change? I don't like being what I've been. I don't like doing what I've done. I've got to have a change. I mean, talking about people in the church. We know when we first come to God, we have to change. We know that. But even during our life with God, there's changes that have to be made. Lord, I'm going to wrestle with you until you have blessed me to get this change in my heart that I know I need. I need to get it right with so-and-so. I need to change that I don't think like I thought last week, do like I did last week. God, I need a change. Prayer changes things. It changed Jacob from a deceiver to a man that had power with God and with man. We see David, he'd run from Saul. His men, their families, they moved into Ziklag, which was in Philistine territory. And they fooled the Philistines into thinking that they were fighting against some of the Israelites. And what they were doing was just clearing out villages of the enemy. But now the Philistines are going to go fight against Saul. David and his men, they join up. We're going to go with you. They've gone about a day and a half or so. And the king said, my general say, you're going to have to go back to Ziklag. You can't be with us because we're going to be going to fight against Saul and Israel. So David got his men, went back. About a day, after 3 days, he got to Ziklag, and it was burnt to the ground. His wives, his children, the wives and children of his men, they're all gone. And David and the men were so, well, you can imagine what it must have felt like. Our families are gone. And the men got to thinking, maybe we ought to kill David for bringing us to this place. And they were actually thinking about stoning David. But David said, bring me the ephod. I got to get along with God. I got to talk to God. And he put the ephod on and he began to pray. He said, God, should I go after them? Will I catch up to them? God spoke to him. See, God speaks to us. He will tell us. And what God told Jacob, yeah, you're going to follow, David, you go follow him. You are going to catch up to him, and you're going to get everything back. Listen, you may have lost things in your life, and you wonder what in the world happened. Just continue to pray. Keep following God. Keep seeking after the things of God. Because the things that you might have lost will be replaced by much greater than what you ever had before. Praise God. Amen. We find many of the Psalms are simply prayers, like I mentioned. Someone said that we would be perfect if we prayed in Psalms and lived in Proverbs. You know, I get up every morning, first thing I do is read a chapter of Proverbs. There's 31 chapters, and so every day a different proverb. And I think, man, that guy was wise. Some of the stuff he come up with, oh, I wish I could do what he's talking about. Then I go to Psalms and read some of the prayers that David prayed. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit in me. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I tell you, if we could pray in Psalms and live in Proverbs, maybe we would find that place of perfection. I don't know. Praise God. But prayer opens our understanding more clearly to the Word of God. Amen. Have you ever heard somebody preaching? Maybe listening to me today is like that. But you wonder, what's he talking about up there? Do you know prayer opens the understanding? Pastor McGuire has taught some things that I thought, man, that's some deep stuff. I don't understand it. And then I pray and say, oh, that makes sense. Man, that is good. Amen. Psalms 119, verse 105. David wrote, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word is a lamp that is burning with the oil of the Holy Ghost. And when we read the Word of God, we're getting into the area where the Holy Ghost can take that Word and bring it into our hearts and our lives and change us. Amen. The Word of God will lead us. Praise God. When we pray the Word will lead us. Amen. And it's a light to our path to keep us from going astray. And I know I've got to hurry. Psalms 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in the way. It's because he's got the light of God's Word. The first 7 years of my life, we lived down in Missouri. No electricity, no water. Feel sorry for me. It's all right. We survived. But I remember if we got anywhere at night, Dad had a cool oil lamp. He'd light it, and we'd hold it down in front of us to see the path that we were walking on. Well, when we got the Word of God, it's like that light. Because as we were walking, whether we were walking to the outhouse or to the barn or whatever we were, wherever we were going, that lamp would light the way so that we wouldn't stumble. We wouldn't fall, or we might be something in the pathway that we needed to stay away from. But whatever it was, that light leads us where we're going. The Word of God is that light, praise God. A light under our pathway, lamp under our feet, amen. It's the light of God's Word that's going to keep me on the right path, praise God, amen. And he's going to delight in us. It's prayer that will give us the wisdom and understanding. Prayer will open our understanding as David. He wrote in the 23rd Psalm. You could probably all quote it. But this is what David said. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me delight. See, he's following in the steps of God. He's letting the Word lead him. And this is what will happen when we pray and obey the Word of God. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Man, that's comfortable. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I've got the Word of God. I've got the light of God taking me right on through. I'm not stopping in the middle. I'm not going to fear it. Praise God. I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. It doesn't matter how much the enemy comes against us. We've got the Word of God. God takes care of us. He'll lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. He'll put it. I'm telling you what, the enemy cannot destroy a child of God. The devil might as well quit, might as well give up, because he can't do it. Amen. Well, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Blessed. I got so many blessings, it just runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David found out what it was. David understood the benefits of prayer. Understood having confidence in God, how important it is. We make decisions every day. Do you know that? When you wake up in the morning, you got to decide to open your eyes and look at the clock. You got to decide to get your legs out of bed and on the floor, your feet on the floor. Amen. We should pray about everything now. Should never have to pray about going to church. Should I go to church, Lord? No. Then you don't need to be praying about that. You should be at church. Shouldn't have to pray about, should I pay tithes this month? No. Those are things we don't need to pray about. But the other decisions, these things are set in stone, so to speak. The other things that we need to be praying about, Paul said in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, or don't worry about anything. Isn't that silly? You got to worry. You got to worry. Can you live your life without worrying? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Paul's telling us, don't live a life of worry. Don't live a life of fear, life of doubt, but pray. Believe me, there'll be times come in your life that, yeah, worry will drop in your heart. That's when you pray. Pray that worry out. Pray yourself into a place that God wants you to be. I saw a sign on a church, I think I mentioned it some years ago. A big old sign on the side of the church said, why pray when you can worry? Big old sign on the side of this church, why pray when you can worry? I'll never forget that. Many times we tend to worry about everything instead of praying about anything. Have you ever found yourself like that? Boy, I'm so worried I can't even pray about it. Then Paul went on to say in Philippians 4:7, the next verse, and the peace of God, I prayed. Then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Prayer brings peace. Peace that is beyond our understanding. How can you have peace in the storm? How can you have peace when you just lost your job? How can you have peace when you have no income? How can you have peace when everything is going wrong in your life and it seems like you've lost a loved one, you've lost this, you've lost that? How can you have peace when you've received the big diagnosis from the doctor, you got cancer? How can you have peace? Prayer changes things. And the thing that it can change best for me is my perspective. How do I see it? How do I see it? Do I see it as a challenge that the devil ain't going to defeat me? Do I receive it as an area that I can change, that I can make a difference in? This is what James said in chapter 5 about what you should do in those dark times. Beginning with verse 13, James 5:13. Is any among you afflicted? Worry. Said, no, let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. In every situation, pray. Pray. This word in James is a lamp. You need to hold it high. Grab a hold of those scriptures and understand. This word is a light to our pathway. Prayer is the activation of the Word of God in our lives. Praise God. Praise God. I don't have time to talk about Moses. Don't have time to talk about Joshua. Men that have prayed. You know, sometimes God answers prayer different than what we wanted. David was in a battle, and he asked God, do I need to go do this? And God said, no. You go over there and sit under a mulberry tree for a while. And then when you hear the wind blowing in the tree, then you do it. We don't get our answer always like what we want. I tell you, if we got answers the way we want, we would be some spoiled brats instead of godly Christians. Amen. Jesus was walking along after his resurrection. He saw two of the disciples and walking with them. They didn't know who he was. They didn't recognize him. And they sat down to eat dinner. He blessed the bread. And suddenly their eyes were open and realized this was him. This is the one who was buried, that died and was buried. He's risen from the dead, and he's suddenly gone. He disappeared. And so those two got up and ran down to the disciples, and they burst into the room and said, "He's alive. We saw him. We just talked to him." And I could imagine the disciples. Sure. And at that instant, Jesus stood in the middle of them. You know what he said? Peace. Y'all need to quit worrying. I'm alive. You need to listen to what the preacher said. You need to listen to what you were just told. I'm alive. And then Luke 24 and 46. And he said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name." This is Jesus talking. "Among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Before they could receive the promise, before they could turn the world upside down, they had to wait. They had to go back to Jerusalem and pray. They were in the upper room. They weren't just playing cards. They weren't trying to figure out the best way to get on Facebook. They were praying. Amen. And that day, we live in a microwave world. We have instant potatoes, instant grits, instant prayer answers is what we want. We want it right now. We don't want to tarry for 7 days. We don't want to tarry for 10 days. We don't want to tarry for 40 days. We don't want to wait, God. We want it, and we want it now. Wednesday night, Pastor taught on the heroes of waiting. If you weren't here, you need to get online and listen to that great message. We all become weary. We all become weak sometimes, and we need strength that only comes from God. And he used this scripture, Isaiah 40 and 31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." When I get tired of waiting, I become weak. When I get tired of waiting, my strength runs out. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Sometimes God just wants us to wait. Oh, but I want to do what I want to do right now. How serious are you in your prayer? How long will you continue to ask God about a situation? It's something we really need to ask ourselves. How long am I willing to wait? I'm willing to wait till Jesus comes. That should be our answer. Lord, I'm going to pray today. If you don't answer today, I'm going to wait until either you've answered or you come back and get me. And I'm going to keep on praying. Praise God. Daniel waited 21 days. And the answer was sent the first day. Except the enemy fought. You think you're going to get out of this world without the enemy fighting you? Without the enemy trying to discourage you, trying to cause you to doubt the Word of God, cause you to doubt that God will ever talk to you, God will ever answer your prayers. Our strength is renewed through prayer, and we become stronger. How long did Cornelius wait? I don't know. I do know this. He prayed until an angel brought him a message. And this was the message. Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. Wow. Wow. His prayers brought salvation to his whole house. Our life must be about prayer and expecting and waiting. Our entire life should be that way. The apostles obeyed the Lord and waited in prayer. And Acts 2 and verse 1, and I'm coming to a close. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. The disciples obeyed the word of God and waited. They tarried and they prayed, praise God. And this promise came. Jesus had just mentioned, you go there and wait and you're going to receive the power. Amen. Then a crowd began to gather around. And they heard these Galileans speak in their own language. And they accused them. They're all drunk. They're Galileans and we can hear them in our own language. And then Peter stood up in Acts 2 and 16. But this is that. They're not drunk like you think they are. And somebody once said, he didn't deny that they were drunk. He just said, they're not drunk like you think they are. They're drunk on the Holy Ghost. But this is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out of my in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Prayer brought that. Prayer brought the conclusion of the whole thing. Prayer brought the power of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost because they were willing to pray and seek after the things of God. And I can boldly proclaim today, this is still that. When Peter said, this is that which was prophet, it's still that, praise God. When we gather around and we begin to worship the Lord, it's still the power of the Holy Ghost. It's still what was promised. It's still that the prophet Joel prophesied, praise God, almost 2,000 years ago. Kansas, Azusa Street, the beginning of the powering of outpouring of the Holy Ghost in this day, in this generation, it came through prayer. They didn't just get together and have lunch. They didn't just get together and talk about the weather. They got together and prayed. And when they were finished praying, the house was shaken. Praise God. Amen. I want to be in a place where God can shake me, shake my foundation. I want to be on the power in the power of the Holy Ghost in my life, that no matter what goes on in my life, I can turn to Him. I can say, God, You are my Savior. I pray to You. I seek things after You. I'm going to do the things God wants me to do. That's what our life should be. Whatever your need is today, I can tell you right now, prayer is the answer. Prayer is the answer. No matter what is going on in your life, no matter what situation might be, and no matter how dark it might be, you have the Word, the light of the Word of God. You have the power of the Holy Ghost to guide you. I'm telling you what, folks, I am excited about what God is doing in Lakeland. I'm glad and I'm thankful what's happening around the world. Our missionaries are sending report after report of healings and deliverances and outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It's amazing what's happening. It's because of prayer. It's because of prayer. Praise God. Lord bless you. We'll stand and be dismissed in prayer. God, we thank You for Your blessings. Thank You for the opportunity to present our petitions to You. We thank You, Lord, for this day. We ask that You'd bless each one. Go out in Jesus' name. Amen.